Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up,
let's make it loud.
American.
Stand up, let's make it American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting venture here on Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I seem to be having a little bit of a technical problem here. I don't know what's going on, but all of a sudden everything went kaflooey on me. Jeez, you with me, Cool Mike?
Need we say it is the Department of Homeland Security that does not want Annie's message of true Tea Party conservatism to get across? They're just playing with us at the office, and they're laughing right now, being like, yeah, what are we going to do next? But good afternoon, Annie. Thank you. As always, just like Santa Claus, the weather isn't going to stop us from delivering the toys to the girls and the boys.
I honestly don't know what was going on with that, but I'm trying to get signed back in as a host, which is really weird because even I can't do that. Ah, geez, no. This is the craziest thing I've ever had happen to me.
Well, you're on, so here it is. And
I am on.
As they say in Hollywood, the show must go on.
Oh, man.
I got an email from, I was going to bring it up. Yeah, I got it right here from a lady named Vanessa who said this. I was a first-time listener on your show, and I actually don't have an email address for you guys, but I found you on Facebook. Cool, Mike. I really enjoyed listening to your show last week, Friday. It was really, really good. I'm going to be a regular listener. It said Cheryl or Sherry. I can't describe it. But anyway, thank you. We hope she is listening and spread the word.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It seems like now I called in to use in the landline. It looks like now someone's trying to call me on the landline. I mean, this is the craziest. If anything could possibly go wrong, it happens to me.
Well, you know, Annie, expect the unexpected. For example, expect your mother to call you while you're doing the show and say, what are you up to? I get it all the time. I'm just like, I'm expecting my mom to yell upstairs anytime, Mike. I'll be like, oh, God, okay.
Well, you know, the worst part is that while all this was happening and the show is starting and everything's going kaflooey, Yanni's tapping me on the shoulder trying to tell me something. It's like, this is not the time to interrupt.
Oh, so, never fails, does it?
No, it never, ever, ever fails. And we see we got our friend Dana in the chat room along with Tyson. And Dana, you have entered the free Yanni zone. He just went out the door.
Yeah, well, I want to thank Dana for sitting in my chair while I was doing the campaign. And as always, Tyson needs to call in. You know, I love Tyson. He's so shy. And he's just so... You know, Tyson's opinion reminds me of the person in the checkout lane, whereas, you know, someone cuts in front of someone and the person pulls their cart back. Just go ahead. Tyson strikes me as the type of person that just takes his cart and pushes the person right through the aisle until they're out to the cashier.
Well, you know, you got a nice email. I also got one from someone through LinkedIn, Charles Rohrer. And, you know, we do this dedication to fallen heroes at the beginning of each and every show. And, you know, I guess we make a difference because he wrote to me saying, I was doing some searching on my uncle, Marvin Rohrer, on Friday when I stumbled upon your dedication to him. And he puts the website. We did the dedication, it looks like December 4th of 2012. He said, wasn't until August 18th, 2012, the 68th anniversary of his death, that it was finally presented posthumously the Silver Star for his actions in France. Our family reunion was this past Saturday. I let everyone know about your dedication. Everyone was surprised and thankful. Bravo, Zulu. Thanks for honoring his sacrifice. Now,
how cool is that?
Yeah.
Annie, you just headed for the big time. For everyone who doesn't know, Annie will probably be leaving us in 2014, probably having her own TV show on Fox News or CNN or whatever's out there.
Mm.
Probably
nope.
Going to have a hard time getting guests after your first show, but manage.
Well, all right. We are going to be doing our dedication, and we need the Air Force music mic.
All righty.
All right, and this dedication is going out to U.S. Air Force Major Rudolph Anderson, Jr. He was killed October 27, 1962, on the 12th day of the Cuban Missile Crisis by a Soviet rocket while flying his unarmed U-2 reconnaissance plane. On the 12th day of the Cuban Missile Crisis, dawned with the United States and the Soviet Union on the precipices of atomic confrontation. That morning, a Soviet missile shot down the U-2 reconnaissance plane of U.S. Air Force Major Randolph Anderson, Jr. out of the Cuban sky. The lone combat death of the Cuban Missile Crisis brought the standoff to a tipping point, one that actually pulled the two sides back from a potential nuclear war that could have killed millions. On October 27, 1962, Rudolph Anderson, Jr. streaked through the stratosphere, 14 miles above a planet tied up in knots. 12 days before, the Air Force Major had flown one of the first top-secret reconnaissance missions over Cuba that confirmed the existence of Soviet missile sites just 90 miles from the American mainland. Anderson was not originally scheduled to fly on this day, but he lobbied hard for the assignment when the mission was added to the schedule. Mission 3127, Anderson's sixth foray over Cuba as part of Operation Brass Knob, would be his most dangerous yet. With Soviet SA-2 surface-to-air missiles, SAMs, now operational and war seemingly imminent, shortly after Anderson entered Cuban airspace, his unarmed, high-altitude U-2 spy plane appeared as a blip on Soviet radar. As the Soviet military tracked the intruding aircraft, their concern mounted that the pilot was photographing secret locations of tactical nuclear weapons positioned near America's Guantanamo Bay naval base. Our guest has been up there for over an hour, Lieutenant General Stepan Greco told the deputy. I think we should give the order to shoot it down, as it is discovering our positions in depth. With the commanding general, the only man authorized to order surface-to-air missile launches nowhere to be found, Greco gave the order himself. Destroy target number 33. Two surface-to-air missiles rocketed into the sky near the eastern port city of Baines. One exploded near the U-2. Shrapnel pierced the cockpit along with Anderson's pressurized flight suit and helmet, likely killing him instantly. The U-2 plunged 72,000 feet to the tropical island below. Target number 33 was destroyed. Within hours, word of the shootdown reached the White House cabinet room, which all day long had crackled with tension amid news that the Soviet nuclear missile sites were nearly operational and that another U-2 plane had accidentally flown over the Soviet Union, sending Soviet MiG fighters scrambling in pursuit. Assistant Secretary of Defense Paul Nitz said, "They fired the first shot." And President John F. Kennedy remarked, "We are now in an entirely new ball game." Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy would later write in 13 days, his memoir, The Cuban Missile Crisis, "There was the feeling that the noose was tightening on all of us, on Americans, on mankind, and that the bridges to escape were crumbling." Military leaders overwhelmingly urged Kennedy to launch airstrikes against Cuban air defenses the following morning. The president, however, correctly suspected that Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev had not authorized the downings of unarmed reconnaissance planes, and he didn't want to abandon diplomacy just yet. For Kennedy and Khrushchev, Anderson's death crystallized their realization that the crisis was rapidly spiraling out of their control. It was only at that very moment, not before or after, that father felt the situation was slipping out of his control, Khrushchev's son Sergei would later write. Kennedy worried that retaliatory airstrikes would inevitably result in an all-out war. "It isn't the first step that concerns me, but both sides escalating to the fourth or fifth step, and we don't go to the sixth because there is no one around to do so," he told his advisors. That night, the president dispatched his brother to meet with Soviet Ambassador Anatoly Dobrynin and offer a top-secret deal to peacefully end the standoff. The Soviets agreed to remove their nuclear missiles from Cuba, while the Americans pledged to withdraw intermediate nuclear missiles from Turkey and not invade Cuba. The tensest moments of the Cuban Missile Crisis had ended, with Major Anderson the only combat casualty in a standoff that had the real possibility of killing millions. When Kennedy learned that the 35-year-old Anderson had a wife and two sons, 5 and 3 years old, it struck home. "He had a boy about the same age as John," he told his advisors. "Your husband's mission was of the greatest importance, but I know how deeply you must feel his loss." Kennedy wrote in a letter to Anderson's widow, 2 months pregnant with a baby girl. Anderson posthumously was the first ever recipient of the Air Force Cross, the service highest designation short of the Medal of Honor. Memories of Randolph Anderson may have faded, but he's not forgotten in his hometown of Greenville, South Carolina, where he built model airplanes as a young boy and chose good humor is the clear blue sky of the soul, as his high school yearbook quote. On the 50th anniversary of his death, the city of Greenville, in conjunction with Furman University and the Upcountry Historical Museum, unveiled the redesigned Major Randolph Anderson Memorial, which was originally installed in 1963. 13 engraved granite slabs embedded in the lawn describe each day of the Cuban Missile Crisis and surrounding an F-86 Sabre jet, similar to one flown by Anderson, are text panels describing his boyhood, his distinguished military career, and his lasting legacy of contributing to the peaceful resolution of the crisis. Anderson's death escalated the crisis significantly, said Upcountry Historical Museum Courtney Tolson. "It could have provoked a cascading series of events that, if you follow to their logical conclusions, lead to a nuclear war, World War III. Instead, his death was a jolt to Kennedy and Khrushchev and pushed the crisis to a point where they had to take one of two paths, both of which had clear consequences. This show is dedicated to all the men and women that have served, that are serving, and that will serve. We can never say thank you enough. But we can dedicate this song to them. My Name is America by Todd Allen Herndon, which you can find on YouTube or download for free at toddallenherndon.com.
in the grip of oppression. I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames. Taken from others, others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt,
America. Mike, we're going to have a fun guest with us. She caused a little bit of a stir because she posted something on her Facebook page. Oh, gee, what do you think? Facebook, you know, it's always going to get one of us in trouble. So I want to bring on a very special and brave woman, Yolanda Burroughs Vestal. Good afternoon, Yolanda.
Hi. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. She's a Texas mom that posted an open letter to President Obama, and it struck a nerve with a lot of us. It was absolutely spot on. Yolanda, do you mind if I read it, or do you want to read it?
I don't have it in front of me, so I'll let you do the honors.
Okay. It goes, "Dear President Obama, I wanted to take a moment to say thank you for all you have done and doing. You see, I'm a single mom, located in a very small town of Palmer, Texas. I live in a small rental house with my two children. I drive an older car that I pray daily runs a little bit longer. Don't we all have cars like that? I work at a mediocre job, bringing home a much lower paycheck than you or your wife could even imagine living on.
I have a lot of concerns about the new Obamacare, along with the taxes being forced on us Americans and the debt you are adding to our country. I have a few questions for you, Mr. President. Have you ever struggled to pay your bills? I have. Have you ever sat and watched your children eat, and you eat what was left on the plates when they were done because there wasn't enough for you to eat, too? I have. Have you ever had to rob Peter to pay Paul, and it still is not enough? I have. Have you ever been so sick that you needed to see a doctor and get medicine, but had no health insurance because it was too expensive? I have. Have you ever had to tell your children no when they asked for something they needed? I have. Have you ever patched holes in pants, glued shoes, replaced zippers because it was cheaper than buying new? I have. Have you ever put an item or two back on the grocery store because you didn't have enough money? I have. Have you ever cried yourself to sleep because you had no clue how you were going to make ends meet? I have. My questions could go on and on. I don't believe you have a clue what Americans are actually going through, and honestly, I don't believe you care. Not everyone lives extravagantly. While your family takes expensive trips that cost more than most of us make in 2-4 years, there are so many of us that suffer. Yet you are doing all you can to add to the suffering. I think you're a very selfish and cold-hearted man who does not care what is best for the people he was elected by. Not by me, to represent, but more so out of the glory of your name attached to history. So thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for pushing those of us that barely staying afloat completely underwater and driving America into the ground. You have made your mark in history as the absolute worst and most hated president of the United States. God have mercy on your soul. Sincerely, Yolanda, Average American. Wow. Wow. You took a lot of hits for that, but you also had a lot of good compliments on your Facebook page. And I, for one, said that you are a brave woman and you're my hero.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely. I've gotten a little bit of both sides, by all means. To be honest, as far as my own personal message box, it's been more good than it has been bad. But I've tried my best to just, in the beginning, I was quick to defend myself, but now I just have realized everybody's going to have their own opinion and just let them debate amongst themselves. It's not me throwing in my 2 cents is not getting me anywhere, so I just overlook it.
Well, you know, you're not the only one that has been writing letters complaining about President Obama. There was another Facebook letter out that Dennis Prager put up on his page, and this was from Ashley Dunn. And I pulled this one up, and actually she wrote this one back in October, and she wrote, "My name is Ashley Dunn. I'm a 26-year-old recent graduate from Michigan. The phony Obamacare sign-up poster boy made me want to send a message about how Obamacare is really affecting people. I graduated from the University of Michigan in 2009. In my state, this used to mean something. But even with a bachelor's, I was told I was too educated and wouldn't stay. I watched as kids with GEDs and high school diplomas took the low-paying jobs for which I applied. I went back to school and got a second degree and finally found work at a gym. I work nights and only get 32 hours a week for $8 an hour. I'm unable to find a second job at this time. I have asthma, ulcers, and mild cerebral palsy. Obamacare takes my monthly rate from $75 a month for full coverage on my young adult plan to $319 a month, after $6,000 in deductibles, of course. Liberals claim this law would help the poor. I am the poor, the working poor, and I can't afford to support myself, let alone older generations and people not willing to work at all. This law has raped my future. It will keep me and my kids my age from having a future at all. This is the real face of Obamacare, and it isn't pretty." You're not the only one that's angry.
Well, you know, I don't understand this for our guest, who's a single mom working hard, and for the letter, Annie. Well, you know, the health care is free. You got free cell phones, and everything's free. How can people like us be struggling so much? I mean, I share everybody's pain, whether it's your, you know, I got a nickel and dime in my car and wrapped the muffler with the, I used the coat hanger, and I couldn't find a good old coat hanger of metal, so I had to dig and dig, and I think I found twine or fishing string, but it's all free. How is it we're all struggling when 4 years ago we were told, you know, just we're going to have all this money savings and money to burn? The fact of the matter is this is an old trick, and those letters are absolutely 100% accurate. When government intervenes in anything, it just screws it up. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Yolanda. Let me take that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, to me, the average American, the, you know, middle class is, you know, we're swept under the rug. We're trying our best to, you know, stay off welfare and do the right thing and support ourselves and our families on our own. And they're doing all they can to make us rely on welfare. And I don't want to be that person. I want to have a better life. I don't want to be working, you know, 2 and 3 jobs just to make it. And, you know, it's a money-making scheme. There are some very wealthy people that are going to be even wealthier because of what they've done. They don't care what they're doing. And, you know, the poor, it doesn't affect. They are still receiving their benefits. The rich, it doesn't affect. But us in the middle, it's devastating. This is going to devastate us. And I personally believe that we are going to see a higher unemployment rate, and we're also going to see a higher welfare rate. You know, within just a few months, it's going to really, really show. Because I mean, the letters I've received are just incredible. They're very heart touching. You know, and people that own businesses that are already saying they're going to be forced to shut their doors because they cannot afford to do this. It's just not right.
Yeah, it is true. And there's a lot of people that said that, you know, they cannot, you know, handle the Obamacare, you know, mandate. We had just 2 weeks ago arranged with my congressman, Mark Sanford, you know, a little coffee clutch with some of the local people in the community. And one of them, he's had a business for 35 years. And he said he's trying to find every single way in which he can cut costs so that he doesn't have to let any of his employees go. He goes, I'm responsible for these employees. You know, we're like family. A lot of them have worked with me for years. You know, I've had this business 35 years. But with the Obamacare mandate, he says, I'm facing the real possibility of having to finally shut my doors. If I have to let these people go, where are they going to find work? I'm their only livelihood. And he was really, really upset. And this is what people don't understand. You know, they say, all right, fine. Oh, everyone gets this health care. Everyone gets covered. But, you know, Andrew McCarthy wrote an article, and he said there's research out there that's saying, and this is government research, that not 5 million people will lose their policies, but 125 million. And the numbers keep on rising. And it's very scary. It is extremely scary. You know, because you wrote the letter, you actually started people to decide on, I guess by example, to write to the White House. And November 22nd, I believe, it's going to be a massive write-in.
I have not mailed my letter. You know, it was honestly a Facebook status vent. I was upset that day. I had paid my bills. I was paid, and then I paid my bills, and I was left with literally like $30 to last me a week and a half. And I just thought, how is this possible? I mean, what am I doing wrong? I don't, I'm not one to just go blow money. I'm very conservative. I do the best I can. And I was just devastated. It was beside myself trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I just had enough. And then I got, you know, I logged on and I was venting. And before you knew it, you know, 20, maybe 20 friends top shared my letter. And then it was off. You know, from there, it would just continuously kept growing. But yeah, I mean, what what do you expect? You know, what are they expecting from us? What, how are we supposed to do this? I just can't grasp it whatsoever. Do I choose food or do I choose healthcare? I mean, which one is it? That's what it boils down to, in my opinion. From my standpoint, you know, people have obviously made comments, well, you should, you know, shouldn't be complaining, you should be taking charge. Well, I take charge every day and I get up and go to work and I do the best I can. What more am I supposed to be doing? I can't go back to school right now because, unfortunately, who's going to pay my rent and my utilities while I'm attending school? And even just as the lady from Michigan wrote, that's not going to guarantee me a better job. So what do you do?
Oh, you know, you start the revolution like you did. We all need to start our own little individual revolution. And that's exactly what you should do. I feel your pain and I feel your struggles. And I've never been through what you've been through, but and what you're going through, and I really understand. But here's the answer, is that you said it in your letter, and I'll say it, is President Obama doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care because he's never had to struggle like that. All these people talk about struggling and they're they remember. No, they don't. There's probably zero. There may be one or two, but there are probably zero people serving in federal office who have ever struggled, who really, really, really have worked their ass off in the manner you have in order to provide for your children, which still isn't enough. And the fact of the matter is we're an overtaxed nation, and our working middle class is overtaxed. There's where the problem lies.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, people have defended him and said, oh, well, he knows what it's like to be poor. He was raised poor. He, you know, grew up this way and such. And I, you know what, I turned around and I just said, you know, you might want to research things yourself. You know, why don't you research, you know, some of these areas he lived in and I look at the appraisal district and you tell me what it, you know, the cost is for this area. And, you know, I told him, don't believe everything that he has told you. I can put on my best clothes right now and say I'm extremely wealthy, but that doesn't make me wealthy. And, you know, just as, you know, somebody can dress up poor, that doesn't make them poor. I mean, don't, you know, I believe he has filled us up with a bunch of crap and made himself out to be this person that knows the struggle. Really? Because I find it funny that people that have been there, it's so quickly they forget once they get on that high horse. And that's what I've really done.
He's accomplishing his goals, no doubt about
that.
Oh,
yeah.
And the fact is, that's an outright lie. Because realistically, in a world we like to play denial, I don't have a problem in saying I worked for this politician and they turned out to be a crook, because I've worked for plenty of them. But realistically, the reason Barack Obama's mother had so many Social Security numbers is because she got, a.k.a., welfare checks in the mail. It's not the debit card system they have now. You used to get a check, and she had several different names. She used to receive several different checks. That's the way it is, and that's the truth of it, period. So this idea that they struggled is bull crap.
Right.
I mean, he has no idea. He has no idea. He's trying to say, I've been your son. I know the situation. No, he's never been there, and neither has his mother. I mean, it's just an outright lie. Whether it's Barack Obama or George W. Bush, it doesn't really matter. None of them have ever felt your pain,
right.
Period.
Exactly. And I have had that thrown up at me about George W. Bush and you know, completely besides the point, but No, I don't believe politicians know what we're going through. I honestly do not believe that. I think, you know, they need to know. They need to represent us better. You know, we are the ones that they're voting for, and they're not even helping us whatsoever. They literally are putting us in the ground and just one scoop at a time just burying us. That's how I feel.
It's absolutely true, because when I married my first husband, we were so broke that one day he turns around and he goes, you know, we can get ourselves food stamps. And I said, what? He says, yeah. I says, no. I says, I will mop floors in McDonald's before I end up applying for food stamps. I says, I have too much pride. And that's the difference. You and I have pride. And Queen Mike has pride. A lot of people that are listening in that love the show, they have pride. They would not stoop to that. They don't want to live off the government tit. I mean, it's one thing if you're unemployed and you need a hand up until you can find your next job. That's what unemployment insurance is for. That's what the employer and you from your own previous paychecks paid into so that you had a little bit of a hand up before you got your next job. But there's people that professionally live off of the government tit, you know, between food stamps, welfare, phones, help with their utilities.
You name
Section
it.
8
you name
housing,
it, Annie.
You can go on and on. And one of them happened to have been one of my tenants, my mother's tenant. She has a trailer that she rents out. You know, it's just a little single wide, nothing extravagant. But here he was getting all this extra stuff from the government. Plus, he was going to college courtesy of the government. And it didn't matter that he was not going to graduate. He was getting money for his books. Instead of saying, all right, fine, you take this shit over to the bookstore and you can get whatever books you need for your course. No, they were sending him a check. And where's that check going? 9 times out of 10, it was into a bottle of wine. Yeah, and this is the society that we have now. You've got a society that's willing to live off the government shit. And that's what the Democrats want, honestly, because how else can they ever get reelected?
Well, and you know the thing is, Yolanda, that for a lady like yourself struggling, one of the best things we can do, because there's so very little, is we can get our next door neighbor and the people down the street to all get active and to vote. Not just vote for the person with the D or the R next to their name.
Right.
Vote for the person who does feel your pain, who cries the same kind of tears you cry because they just can't make it anymore. And you know, shame on us because we still do not vote as a country in large numbers. We don't take an active role. These politicians have little or nothing to fear, and they need to feel really the wrath of the voter at the voting block. I mean, that's what they really, really need to fear. And one of my biggest concerns is I think as citizens, we need to hold not only these people accountable, but when they clearly violate the Constitution, we need to tribunal them. I mean, it is the voice of the people that trumps government, period.
No, that is very, very true. We have here in South Carolina, we now have 4 people running up against Lindsey Graham, all for the Republican Party. And matter of fact, Mike, I'm sure you remember Lieutenant Colonel Bill Connor. We've had him on the show a few times. He is now off active duty, and he has thrown his hat into the ring. So we've got 2 strong contenders in Lee Bright and Lieutenant Colonel Connor going up against Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham's approval rating now is below 50%. And this is what we're doing. We're saying, okay, we're going to support anyone but Graham. And you've got a lot of people saying anyone but. And we're getting the word out there. Right now, out of the 46 Republican parties inside South Carolina, you know, for each one of the counties, so far 5 out of the 46 have censured him. So we're getting the momentum going here, you know, and that's what we need, more and more people to say no to the rhinos and got to get our country back. You know, I started up a Facebook page yesterday because of what I was seeing some of the responses, Yolanda, to your letter, and the Facebook page is send the White House a letter, tell President Obama what is wrong, and on November 22nd, we want people en masse to send these letters to the White House. Just swamp them. Swamp them, folks. Swamp them.
I'm sorry, go ahead. When I decided that last week, it came to me, and I was like, you know, I haven't mailed my letter yet. I'm going to mail it, and you know what? I want the White House overflowing with letters. I want it to just be a massive, you know, just swarm of letters and people to voice, you know, their opinion and let them know how they feel. I honestly think, you know, I wrote this the other day. I said, you know, the middle class Americans are the heartbeat of this country. They're the ones that are out there working. They're the blue collar workers and they're the cashiers and they're, you know, all these different jobs. the school, even the school teachers and the police officers and such, they're the heart of this country, yet their heart beats silent. They remain silent. They have been told, you know, you are nobody, don't speak. And it's time we speak. It's time we tell them how we feel and what we think, and stop being so quiet. I mean, that people have just accepted or have come up with this idea in their mind that what they say and how they feel doesn't matter. And it's not true. I mean, the only way we can make a change is if we take a stand, and we've got to all join together, and we've got to do this. I mean, if we don't, it's only going to get worse. They're going to continue to just bring the country down.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of the progressives in Congress are finding themselves, you know, up for re-election, and all of a sudden their constituents are bombarding them. So what did they do? You know, here is the Democratic, you know, Senate and the House that voted completely right along party lines and got us into this Obamacare mess. They knew what they were voting for. And right now, Christian Gillibrand, who is a representative out of New York, said they knew that this was going to happen. These policies were going to be canceled. They knew what was going to happen. They knew the website was not going to work. They knew this ahead of time. And still they voted for this debacle. And what do? They go running to the White House saying, oh, it's your health care bill, Mr. President. It's your fault.
Right.
No, it's not. It's Congress's fault, and we've got to hold them responsible for their actions. And I put up a picture up on your website, the post turtle. Did you see that?
Oh, yes. That was hilarious.
So, I don't know. Mike, do you know what post turtle is?
No, I do not.
Well, have you ever been driving down the road, and you see on top of a fence post a turtle, and you're wondering, you know, you're driving down the road, you see it, and you come across the fence post with a turtle balanced on top, and that's a post turtle. You don't know, you know, he didn't get there by himself, he didn't belong there, and he can't get anything done while he's up there. And you just want to help take the poor thing down. That's President Obama, a post turtle.
Well, I certainly would like to help him down, no doubt about that.
Well, there's another one someone else posted up on there, listed under Best Joke Ever, and I'm gonna have to kind of like fudge this because half of it didn't print out properly. The joke went, a man died and went up to St. Peter, the pearly gates, and behind Peter were all these clocks behind him. And he asked, what are those clocks for? St. Peter, those clocks are for people on earth, and every person has what is called a lie clock. And on your clock, it will move every time you say a lie. Oh, so the man, he looks at that one and he goes, no, whose is that? It hasn't moved at all. St. Peter goes, it's Mother Teresa's, indicating that she never, ever told a lie. Incredible. And he looked again, and he saw another clock that only moved two ticks. And he said, who's that? Whose clock is that? And he goes, that's Abraham Lincoln's clock. It only moved us twice, telling us that most of his entire life he always told the truth. And then the man asked, where's Obama's clock? Oh, his clock is in Jesus' office. He's using it as a fan.
Yolanda, I don't mean to change the subject, but tell us about your boys. Obviously, you're a mother and you take great pride in your children. Tell us about your family.
I actually have three children. I have two girls that live with me. Then my son, he lives with my ex-husband, which my ex-husband's in the same, financial situation as I am. He struggles just as well. And, I'm a single mom. I work full-time. I work a part-time job on the side. I'm that mom that's at every game and cheers my children on and tries to volunteer as much as I can at the school and, church on Sunday mornings. I mean, we're pretty typical. So.
Yeah, now, I made this observation. I noticed that over the last year or two, I'm seeing more people starting to return to church. Have you been finding that in your congregation?
Yeah. You know, I think people, you know, you always see during times of hardship or during, you know, really something, you know, really drastic happens. Of course, you know, 9/11, churches were flooded. I think we're in the same situation in a sense, is we're desperate for answers. We're desperate for help, and people are turning to God, and they're, you know, just trying to find some kind of peace and some kind of sense in all this. And I think also, you know, a lot of people are seeing it as signs of the end of time. And I think it scares them, quite frankly. And so they're drawing closer, you know, and going to church and trying to get right, I guess, so to speak, because of that. That's what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing it, you know, not just in the church we attend, but it's even with friends of my children's and their parents and such, I'm seeing it with them also. It's definitely a movement is happening in multiple ways.
Yeah, it's funny though, because the more the progressives try to get us to go down these roads, you know, with the same-sex marriage, with the trying to get certain segments of society a little bit more legitimacy, they have that MAMBA, the men boys group, that they're trying to say, oh, we should be on the same level as the lesbian and gay society. You've got to accept us. No, we don't. You see a lot of risky behavior for someone like, example, Miley Cyrus. Here she was, the Disney poster child, and look what she's turned into with the drugs and all her other stuff. And you're seeing the more they try to push this on us, I think the more that we're starting to push back and say, wait a minute, I think this is going a little bit too far. Even with trying to legitimize a lot of these illegal immigrants, they're sitting in jail because they committed felonies, but you can't question them about the crime they committed because they're on the pathway to citizenship. And he's sitting in jail because he committed a felony. Why would you want him to become an American citizen? Obviously, he doesn't respect us. He doesn't respect what we stand for as a nation. So why would you want that individual to become a full-blown citizen? Oh, does it have to do with a single little four-letter word called vote? You know, it's crazy. It is absolutely, absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah, and I live in a state. I mean, I'm in Texas, so we are overrun by illegal immigrants, and it's frustrating. It's very frustrating when you work so hard and you know, then they don't pay taxes, they get free health care. And, you know, I've sat here and asked many people, well, how is that going to change? They're not trackable. They don't even exist. So who's going to be paying their bills? They're still going to go to the hospital. They're still going to be delivering children without insurance and having other procedures done. So who's going to be picking up that bill? And I mean, you know, truth of the matter is we are. And I can't grasp why something or more is not being done. Why is this not being stopped? Why do they have so many rights when they're not Americans? I just can't make sense of that whatsoever.
Yeah, now someone put something up interesting in the chat room dealing with President Obama's birth certificate, saying it may have been out of the Medellin cartel, the guy that did the forgery. Also, our friend Tyson put in an interesting post that young conservatives in Texas are hosting a catch illegal immigrant game. That's interesting. That is very interesting. Catch illegal immigrant game.
Ultimately, the problems lie within we, the American people. Our Constitution, our Declaration clearly allows us the liberties, not only to the implosion of our own government, but to throw them off as well, to execute them as well. And the bottom line is that we as society have allowed ourselves to be taken over basically by a group of establishment-type people. Judges rule, no, you don't have rights over government. Excuse me? But, I mean, we allow this. We allow this as people. And Yeah, I'll give you a perfect example. And Judge Napolitano talked about, I think it was, and I don't remember the year, but it was in the early 1800s when a judge said, no, government has the right over the people. Or, well, they strung the judge up, appointed a new judge, took the same trial to court. Within a half hour, the judge ruled in favor of the people. And, I mean, the bottom line is that government will overstep. It doesn't matter whether it's your local government or your state or whatever. Unless we, the people, have a strict leash on them and they fear the wrath of the voter, you know, these things will just continue and continue and continue. And, you know, Yolanda, the sad part is the goal is to become dependent on government, because ultimately government needs to prove to its people they must have government in order to survive. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the goal.
That's exactly what I think, too.
It's very, very true, because, you know, the way our nation was set up, we were the first and the only nation that said that the people are citizens, not subjects, citizens. Unfortunately, the arrogance that we have in our government, and it goes on all levels, and it's done by all political parties, even my own county council, they have forgotten that they're here as servants of the people, not the people being servants of them. They feel that they are far more superior because they're in this political power now than we are, that the average person is just plain stupid, and the only thing they are good for are to pay taxes and to vote them into office every single year. And I wrote an editorial when we got our tax bill in, and Mike, you know this, I've been before the county council, and they see me coming, there's a collective groan, and we've got two of my fellow citizens in Beaufort County in the chat room. They can attest to this. They get their tax bill in, and it's going to be way higher. Mine went up 50%. 50%. I have a friend of mine, hers went up 300%. I was seeing people writing in on the Facebook page where I put in the thing about the tax bill, and one couple said 39%. And it's an outrageous. And I just turned around and I said, all right, on my editorial, it's going to go into our local Beaufort Gazette, and it said, these are the people that voted for the tax increase. And Mrs. Bowden, their term expires, and they'll be up for re-election. We will not forget. We will remember. And these six individuals had their name clearly printed in the newspaper for the entire county to see. Do you think they're going to have an easy time getting reelected? Not when I get done with them. And that is a promise. And Mike knows, when I get my giddy back up, oh boy, here come the boxing gloves come off, and I'm going to swing hard.
Yeah, one of the sad parts about it, Yolanda, is the Yolandas of the world are overlooked. I mean, because we're too wrapped up in all the other things that are so much more important. And that's when we lose focus. When we lose focus on the American family, that's when everything, the dominoes really start to fall in the wrong direction. And I believe it's a master plan in many, many ways that we just overlook the fact that the roots of our foundation, of our country, is we the people, is protecting life and liberties. And when we're so wrapped up in the other things that government kind of, or the media kind of draws to us, is the more important business at hand. That's when we start losing focus. The most important thing, the most important aspect of our republic begins with the family, period. Life and liberties, period.
That is very, very true. And people forget it's we the people that control the power. And we've got to take that control back.
Our governor said in his State of the State address, he made some comment. Annie, I wish you were right next to me. He said, "The people, they're our customers. It's our business. They're our customers." I'm thinking, customers? Where the hell did this come from, you a-hole? Since when did we become customers of government?
I couldn't even tell you how many messages and such just hundreds of thousands, you know, in thousands. I mean, it's crazy, and I've been trying my best to respond a little something to everyone. One in particular that just, it struck me really hard is somebody wrote, and they were very, very ugly, but they called me a bottom feeder, and that I was a bottom feeder, and I would never be more than a bottom feeder, and that I was worthless, and that I disgust them, and that I'm a waste of space. And I just was like, wow, really? I mean, seriously, this is what, you know, somebody is going to say to another human being because they might have more money than I do. And, I, you know, at first it really hit me hard, I'll be honest with you. It was very, when this first took off like it did, it was, I'm a small town girl. I know everybody in my town, and it's, you know, small community, it's a totally different world. So when all this took off and I started getting, you know, those occasional hate messages, it was hard for me. I'm just not that kind of person. I don't normally get spoken to that way. And at first I took it personal, and then I finally just made up my mind, you know, who are they to speak to me like that? Who are they to assume or to call me names and such? I am the average American. I am that person that is, you know, trying, and I'm a bottom feeder because I'm trying so hard. I just can't grasp why anyone thinks that way. I just can't. Maybe, yes, it's that country girl in me. I mean, it really is, but I just can't grasp it. I cannot understand what is in these, you know, individuals' heads to make them think that way. Without these so-called bottom feeders, they would not prosper. I mean, they wouldn't be where they are without those of us that are doing the dirty work for them.
No, it is true, and I can understand the small town feeling. I lived in a small town. I live in a small town, and everyone knows everyone else. But I guess over the years, you know, I've learned just to let it ride right off my back. Had that person said that to me, to my face, I would have just very politely smiled. Something I learned here in the South, when you start off with bless your heart, because here comes the punch. You're blessed, and you know, being South, Southern lady says, bless your heart. You're going to be smiling, saying thank you, thinking you just got complimented. You walk away, and 5 seconds later, realize you just got the crap insulted out of you. I just want to smile nicely and said, bless your heart. I am so glad I was able to make your day and make you so happy. I guess I really am worth something in life because I was good enough to do that for you. You have a nice day now.
And that's exactly, you know, I did. I just said thank you and God bless. And I just let it be because I've always been, you know, taught to pick my battles carefully. You know, you don't have to argue with everyone, and you don't have to, you know, I don't have to fight. I believe what I believe, and I respect others' opinions. I will not, I try my best not to be hateful to them in any way. I respect it, and I go on, you know. I refuse to sling mud at somebody. I refuse to just, you know, do any of those things. It's just not me. I'm not going to sit here and claim to be any kind of political buff. I don't have any kind of degree in political science. I'm that mom that gets up and goes to work and takes care of her kids, and I'm the one feeling the pain of, you know, what's being done in Washington. I mean, that's what I know for sure, above all things.
Because it's not just you, Yolanda. There's millions of Yolandas out there. And they're all feeling that pain, too. When government steps into our lives, into the minutia of our lives, to what type of toilets you purchase, what type of light bulbs you're allowed to purchase, and now they're mandating that you must purchase this insurance policy that has birth control. I don't need birth control. I am way past delivering baby age. I don't need prostate cancer in my policy because, believe it or not, I was born 100% female, and I don't have that equipment, so I don't need that in my policy. It's like they're telling you basically as if you're going to the grocery store, you hand the cashier money for say, coffee, and you don't drink coffee. You hand them the money for the coffee and walk out of the store without the coffee.
Right.
And that's what government, this Obamacare is doing. We got a caller in the line, and I do believe this might be our friend Tyson. Tyson, is that you?
Hello, Annie.
Record 8 first week. Yeah, Tyson.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I'm sorry, I did have to chime in on this, but you guys are sounding correct. I have to agree with you that it hurts me so much to do so. But
everyone has had a liberal fair friend somewhere on the way.
But I do feel for Yolanda. That's just awful. Case in point, I have a friend of mine in Rhode Island. She's just outside of Providence. And, we were talking and so forth. And she's rather political activist. And, she was so excited about Obamacare. She was like, oh, man, this is going to be the first time I've ever had insurance in, 15 years. She does have two children. One, her little boy, has autism. So he's a special needs child, which they are getting Medicaid for. Once everything was set in place, she tried to apply, which she did get to apply. It was working in her state. She came up with it was going to cost her $300 a month. And on her budget, she just could not afford it. And she's not a single mom. She has a husband. He works full-time as well. And they're just in a situation where they just can't find, a shovel to dig themselves out of this hole. And I don't agree with the way this was placed in. I think it was a great idea, but implementation has been bad. And Mike, I have to disagree with you. I do think Obama does care. I just don't think he knew exactly what he was getting into. And I think this was a very, very, very bad time in our economy to try to implement this. But, we should have a universal type of health care regardless. But it's just costing too much. And with, again, the politicians, as Yolanda was saying, they don't really care about us. They're looking at their best interests. They have added and kind of molested this bill to a point where, it's just a train wreck. It's not going to help anyone. And if it does help anyone, it's very, very, very few. And luckily I don't fall within that category. So, I'm not all up in arms, so to speak, other than my other friends, this is not a good thing. This is not a good thing. But on the other side, and I have to bring up the other side.
Here we go.
I have to disagree with, people, like the woman, the person who spoke to Yolanda saying, she's a bottom feeder. Listen, we're all bottom feeders. If you were driving down the street and you're going past Walmart and Walmart had a big sign that said free pumpkins, if you didn't necessarily need a pumpkin, wouldn't you just stop by and pick up one? This is like, okay, I'm getting free health care and so forth. Utilize what comes at you, regardless if you need it or not. They're going to take it. It's not a question of, have moral values. But no, man, I'm going to get a free pumpkin. Hey, it's free. I don't have to do anything for it. It's coming to me. There is no incentive for me to go ahead and grow a pumpkin.
Well, actually, Tyson, by giving something away free, it allows a person then to abuse the system. So you have someone that has a very risky sexual behavior. So why do you have to take my money to subsidize that person's choices? Why? And that's what they're doing.
Yes, you're correct. I wouldn't put it in that analogy, but now you got me thinking.
Uh-oh, Tyson's thinking, Mike.
Yeah. Well, Tyson, my comment regarding I don't think he cares at all is based on just what he's done over the last 5 or 6 years. And there has been no at least for me, I'm done looking at a D and an R next to people's name. And one of the things, if it were 20 years ago, the Yolandas of the world wouldn't even concern me. But the fact of the matter is, Yolanda is basically the middle class right now. I don't know of any middle class person not struggling. It's really not the business of the federal, state, or local governments either, but when they're causing the problem. And if I look at the veterans, they're being dropped off, the ones who come home, and they're being left alone. This was a pledge that Obama made that he's done nothing. He talked about the FISA courts, and he talked about the Constitution, and he talked about the NSA. All of that still is in existence and growing massively. The Constitution is being eroded under him. And based on whether you like him or not or a personality, the facts on the table show that Barack Obama not only is not a person who believes at all in our Constitution, but the facts are he does not care about the middle class continuing to implode. In fact, that may be a goal of his. I don't know. But the facts are the facts as is. And our governor in the state of Michigan, who is a Republican, who I worked for shamelessly, he has turned and become – this guy is a complete asshole. He is a pathological liar. He is a sociopath. If this person had the tools of a Hitler or a Stalin, he would be one of them. And you have to call a spade a spade. It's that simple. You got to know when to fold your cards. And whether or not you're a governor or a president or a county commissioner or a city commissioner, we have to acknowledge the bad politicians that are taking this country in a direction that I think is extremely dangerous. We're very close to a cliff that the drop may be so hard, there may not be the population to really get things in order once you splat onto the ground, because it may devastate the middle class so hard that basically we're going to be crawling to the exclusively rich just to get crumbs in our mouth. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, Tyson, also you got to remember he ran his campaign on Obamacare. He told Joe the plumber that he wants to redistribute wealth. He said it on camera. And then he said time and time again that you can keep your doctor. But what happened was when they had Scott Brown, they saw that he was being elected to the Senate, and they were really frightened. So they went to Obama and said, listen, we've got to take this single-payer mandate out. We've got to take it out of the bill. Well, they took it out of the bill. So then once the bill was passed, he put it in. He put it in as a regulation, knowing full well that policies were going to be canceled. He campaigned on college campuses based upon Obamacare. And now, this was in a recent article that just was printed yesterday, and it's millions of Americans were watching individual policies get canceled due to Obamacare regulations. But now they're seeing a major impact on college campuses. Now, for decades, universities and colleges offered students bare-bone policies. But because of the Affordable Care Act, those policies no longer will cut it. At Bowling University in Maryland, this is one school, the cost of student health insurance policies went from roughly $100 a year to $1,800. The cancer plan offered $5,000 worth of medical coverage for students for just $54 per semester. A university administrator said it was unacceptable replacement under the Affordable Care Act and will cost $900 per semester, a 1,500% increase. So now students, college students, the ones that were all in Obama's camp, are finding their policies are going to be cut because the campuses cannot afford to have this health care and still have affordable education. So it's not just a small 5% group. He knew it was not going to be just 5%. We went from 5 million being canceled, and the projected by 2017 will be 125 million. And my employer-based policy that I have carried from the New York City Police Department will just be one of those on the chopping block. And there's
Yolanda,
every single American is going to feel this.
What's Yolanda? Have you signed up for the Affordable Health Care Act for your family?
No, I haven't. I have, and this is what I want to make clear, the things that I wrote in the letter, I have been there. I do have health insurance at this time. My current employer actually offers health insurance. So we have had a discussion over what, you know, some of the changes are about to take place, but we have not been given official notice of exactly what we're looking at, and, you know, as far as increases and things like that. So we're not really aware just yet. But as far as actually, you know, the AC, no, I haven't. I haven't really checked everything out. So.
And I, Tyson, just so you know, I agree. I think healthcare is a good conservative. I think universal healthcare is a good conservative idea from birth, because it, from birth to whenever, because it saves money long term. But that has to be done and voted on by locals. This cannot be done at a federal level of 50 bureaucracies, not even at the state level, because Annie probably lives in a community where the age variance is so different than where Yolanda, you, or I live. And that has to be done by the locals, and they also need choice-type plans. And the citizens can also basically I'll give you an example. In Hawaii, is basically they gave every individual an opportunity to buy into the state plan. So when the state of Hawaii every 2 years renegotiates with its local health care providers, they say, look, we've got 600 new employees and basically force the companies to drop their policy prices. Whenever you have government just getting involved, what this has done, it's really made the big, big health care companies, basically it has shook hands and said the government and you are all monopolies now. So you have five monopolies controlling this. And this is just, you know, it's not President Obama's fault. It's not Nancy Pelosi's fault. It's our fault. We want to know the problems of this country. Look no further than a mirror, because we continue not to vote. We continue to just accept, mediocrity or horrible representative government. And we shouldn't. These people should feel the wrath of the people, almost like when their term ends, nobody can find them because they're hiding.
Well, we all have to turn into Yolandas. And I've got another caller in on the line. Let me bring this person in. Thomas, would you like to chime in?
I'm just listening.
Thomas. Yeah. Okay, Thomas.
Hey.
Just put your hand up when you want me to unmute you, okay?
Okay.
So, right, Thomas, Yolanda, I have a question. How old are your daughters and your son who lives with you, with your ex-husband or his dad?
My son is 13, and both of my girls, they are 15 and 17.
Well, you get them involved
young
in
women.
Politics, right? You get them involved in politics right now. I mean, in my city, people would not pay attention to me 3 years ago, but I get involved with juniors and seniors in high school. And by this time now, not only are all of the juniors and seniors involved in our group, but now many of the people who are now 20, 21, and 22 are. So now when I go to the city council and I stand up, everybody looks this way. And I just recently made a one more move. We won an election 2 weeks ago that puts basically our people in the majority. And they began repealing ordinances on whims, which means they show up at the meeting. Each one of them has five ordinances in their hand. They're saying, I'm repealing this. All those in favor say aye. When you have the progressives like, well, wait a minute, we got to talk about it. All those in favor say aye, and a 4-3 majority carries. And this is what each local has to do. It has to be as ruthless as the enemy, because they are ruthless. They could really care less about you or your family unless you dance to their music. And that's the way we have to do it. It begins next door. And then it spreads to the next house and then across the street. And you let it spread from there. I mean, the federal government ultimately is going to change when the roots of the people grow so big and strong from the local level that it just carries. That's the change we have to hope for.
Yeah, and Yolanda, you know, one of the reasons why I say I admire you and you're my hero is because here you are. You're in a situation where all you really want to do is just take care of your family, just to get by. You don't want to push anyone's buttons. You just want to get by and just go on your merry own little way. But when your buttons got pushed so far, you had the courage and the eloquence to stand up and said, I've had it. Now you've gone too far, and it's time I get my voice heard. And we need every single person to do like you're doing. And that's why we put up there at the November 22nd, I put it up at an event page on Facebook. If you can't find it, just look for A King, A-Y-E-K-I-N-G, a two-part word. It's up there. It's also on Tea Party Community up in their event. And I'm just telling everyone, I'm sending it out to all my members of my Tea Party here and saying, November 22nd, you mail a letter to the White House and tell them what you feel is wrong. You don't have to be nasty. Do it with eloquence and tell them specifically why, whatever it is. You can be complaining about Obamacare. Let me see. Let's see what some of the list of scandals. This was put up by Mark Snooper Harvey. He has it up on the Snooper Report. And Mr. Scandals Part 1, Benghazi Gate, AP Gate, SEAL Team 6 Murders, IRS Gate, Fast and Furious, Common Core, Solyndra, 10 other green firms, Pentagon Attack on Christianity, DHS Bullet Grabs, Southern Border Wars, 274 Dead Soldiers, GSA Finances, Secret Service sluts, Secret Service infringement, Obamacare, Sebelius funding, Patriot Act, TSA, unconstitutional abortions, constitutional doesn't go far enough, illegal gun grabs, violation of the First, Second, Third, Fourth Amendments, I should add the Tenth Amendment, that's missing in here, aiding and abetting the enemy, treason, the Boston Massacre, terrorism is not dead, and lying to the American people. I mean, you just pick one item from that list. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be Obamacare. You know, and here we have, I mentioned Lieutenant Bill Connor entered the race to run against Lindsey Graham, and he had sent me a little message and said, you know, what about Graham with the Muslim Brotherhood? And Mike knows, don't even get me started on Graham and the Muslim Brotherhood. If anyone should be brought up on charges of treason, Lindsey Graham, President Obama, and John McCain, and God bless the fact that Lindsey Graham and McCain have served, and I think Graham is still judge advocate in the military.
Some of our...
Here they are. They sit down with the Muslim Brotherhood. There are enemies. You want our government to send them planes and tanks? There are enemies. You want Egypt to let them out of jail? Then there's a reason why the Egyptians made them an outlaw group. You know, they're not good people. And these fools will sit down and say that we have to have a conversation with the Muslim Brotherhood. We have to get into negotiations. No, we don't. We have to get rid of them. And then they support CARE. CARE is an affiliate of the Muslim Brotherhood. And we have CARE inside our government telling us how we should behave towards Muslims. No wonder why anything you say against Islam is punishable by death according to Sharia law. And I just shake my head. And Mike knows, I have not a quiet person. I see someone walking into Best Buy. I'll say, do you realize that they support CARE? You know, that Islamic organization that ties to the Muslim Brotherhood? Did you know that Best Buy sponsored the national convention in Kansas City 2 years ago? You know, we're supporting our enemy. Why would you give them your money? You make them close the doors. You back away and say, I'll go to Radio Shack. I'll go to Walmart. I'll go anywhere else and get what I need. But never walk into a Best Buy. And I've had people walk away from Best Buy. I have no qualms about doing that. You know, we have to vote not just with our vote in the voting booth. We have to vote with our dollar. Determine where you're going to spend your money and how you're going to spend your money. If you have to go an extra mile to get your gas, because, you know, one station has ties to the dictators down in Venezuela. Well, go a mile and get your gas somewhere else. You know, we can vote not just in the voting booth on election day, but with our dollars. And we got to make every single dollar count because we don't have a lot of them lately. And with Obamacare, we're going to have even fewer.
Exactly.
So that's my rant for the day.
I've got to get back to work. It has been absolutely wonderful speaking with y'all, and I get out there and you know, speak to people and tell them about, you know, what's going on and educate them, and also write that letter, November 22nd. I want to flood the White House with letters. So,
Yolanda, I don't know if you have Facebook, Yolanda, but I'm please hit me up, 11 Cool Mike on Facebook. I will definitely write my letter. Trust me. I'm not going to be as tactful as you will be. Mine will be filled with colorful metaphors, but you know what? I'm the type of person. I'm happy with the friends I have. I don't need any more. So the best thing I can do to help the Yolandas of the world, I will continue to pray very, very hard. Not just for
you
and your family, but the answers lie within your daughters and your son. That we're going to be long gone before the answers and the problems are really solved, but it lies with them. And
yes.
I will pray for their generation to continue to carry the crusade of Cool Mike long after I'm gone. And you know, the fact of the matter is, we're not going to do it with sticks and stones. We're going to have to do it at the voting box and speak softly and carry a huge stick. Thank you for joining us, Yolanda.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Yolanda, and God bless, and thank you for joining us.
Thank
and I'll be talking to you.
Thank you.
Okay,
so,
sounds great. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Yolanda. Now I can ask, Tyson, where the heck have you been? We haven't heard from you in months.
I'm trying to hide under the radar, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah.
What new endeavors
have you been up to, Tyson? Come on now, come clean. What have you been up to?
We're in the real estate.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. People will always need land.
Well, Tyson, you know where you can get a good home inspector, right?
Exactly, and you and I, Yanni, are going to have to talk later off show, and we got it, but a lot of things have changed. Things are looking very well, I'm sorry. I've been under the radar handling household items. Had a sick son there a little while ago, my little nine-year-old. He actually came up with appendicitis and emergency trip up to Maryland to take a look at them and make sure everything was okay. But back to our talk on the actual, you know, projection of the show. Again, I have to bring back the, you know, I don't like saying Obamacare. I'm more towards the affordable health care terminology. But for the most part, I think I was watching a documentary last night on, believe it or not, Evel Knievel. And I put Evel Knievel and Obama in the same category. Stay with me on this. They were talking about the failure of the Snake River jump and so forth. And there, I learned that there was the promoters actually put a security force in place back then. What was it, 73? Or not to keep the crowd from Knievel, but to make sure his ass got on that rocket ship. And I think Obama is in the same position. He should have never said, and this is coming from a business person, he should have never said, you're not going to lose your doctor, you're not going to lose your insurance, you know, 3 years before this was implemented. Because being a former employer, every 2 years I looked at our health care program that we were offering, and this was up in Maryland, we had to offer health care to any of our employees. Every 2 years, we would evaluate to see who had a better deal. And at that point, it would change people's doctors. We went to another, HMO, and, and a lot of the employees we had, we didn't have many, I only had about 12 of them, had doctors and so forth. It was stupid of him to say that, oh, no, you're not going to lose, your doctor you've been going to and so forth. This is the age where money talks. So if I came across a plan that was going to save me, honestly, saving $500 a year, I'm talking a year, break that up per month, I was going to take it. I'm sorry, I had to go with that. And just in an economic standard. I think it was, like I said, it was really stupid for him to say something like that and make that statement. And then we have Bill Clinton coming off saying, well, I think he could honor that statement. He can't honor that statement. He just put in a he put himself in a position where he could not step away from it. And, he knew this was coming. He could see it down the road.
Yeah. Tyson, we're down to our last 4 minutes here, Tyson. So I'm sorry, I really
don't
to cut you short. That's all right.
No,
that's all right. But we've got ourselves a great guest coming up on Friday, Mike. He is a refugee from the Soviet Union. He was actually thrown in the gulag, courtesy of the Soviet Union, for his words. He has a very oddball sense of humor. And guess what? He is running for Congress in Florida for District 18. That's up on the West Coast over around Tampa. And he'll be our guest on Friday. Now, you got to be wary. He's got a very thick Russian accent, but he is funny as heck. And he's got, I think, something close to like 20 books out there, a lot of them on Obama's Sutra and a couple of other things. So he'll be our guest on Friday. But we're running out of time, and I want to thank everyone for joining us here in Southern Sense. And we may have ourselves a good announcement possibly next week or the week after on some new ways our show is going to be taking off. We're not leaving BTR, but we're going to be expanding our audience possibly in new and interesting ways, Mike. So,
looking forward to it, Annie. Well, thank you, everybody, and we'll pass it back to you, Annie, for our goodbyes.
Yeah, so we want to welcome everyone back here again on Friday, where we will be same bat time, same bat station here on Southern Sense, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So until then, I say good night, God bless, and be safe this week.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. American, I've got the will.
stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.